We'll call this segment The Boxer and the Punch. I never wanted to be the kind of person that loved Simon and Garfunkel. I say that with a little nod to my friend Greg Bishop, who first said that to me back in the 90s, and it stuck in my head. Nothing against their music. It's just that they created these devotees who hung on every word. I used to have a concert tape of them from New Jersey in 1967, and the deathly silence, it felt like a museum or something when they performed, because there was just this hush, as though they wanted to hang on every word, every pretentious word. Paul Simon, Art Garfunkel, they were neighbors in Queens. They knew each other from the time they were teenagers. They became Tom and Jerry, and because Paul Simon got into songwriting, and they had a very minor hit back in 1957 called Hey Schoolgirl. They continued on their own because they didn't have great success right away. Paul continued to write songs. Art went to school in mathematics. That's what he graduated in. Think about that. You know, he's an actor, singer, math teacher. Paul went off to England in, what was it, 62, 63, spent about a year or so there, got signed to Columbia Records. Then he came back to New York, got together with Artie again, and the two of them recorded their first album, Wednesday Morning, 3 a.m. They tried Sounds of Silence, which Paul had recorded in England. He'd recorded it as a solo song. It was a good song. Everybody recognized it was a good song, but it didn't do anything. Tom Wilson had actually been there when Bob Dylan went from a folk musician into a rock musician. Well, in 1965, after Tom Wilson had stopped working for Bob Dylan, Wilson began to do some work with Simon and Garfunkel, and he was the one who got the musicians together in order to put backing on Paul and Artie's original solo track for the Sounds of Silence. This was in late 1965, so let's say 5 or 6 months after Bob Dylan had recorded Like a Rolling Stone, so he had moved from being the folk musician into being a rock musician. They were on the same label. And so this was something that Wilson did, and it was released, and it became a hit single. So here's the hit single version of Sounds of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I saw 10,000 people, maybe more.
We're deep listening. Now, what I mean when I say that is that we're taking materials that we're already familiar with, that we know about, but we're so used to them, as a matter of fact, that they become a background music. And I'm saying, stop putting them in the background, put them in the foreground, listen close. Listen and find things that you've perhaps never found before. Now, that was December 65 was when Sound of Silence came out. A few months after that, they had a hit record called I Am a Rock. Now, I Am a Rock is a song that I've never really cared for. I could understand the irony and the title and the lyrics and all that, but they have this pretentious quality that I've just never cared for. And it's mostly because I've only listened to stereo mixes for years, which splits the music apart. So I tracked down the 45 of I Am a Rock, and oh my God, the sound is killer. That's the punch that I'm talking about, folks, is the sound. This music, this almost sounds like a punk song. Not in the what he's singing or how he's singing it, but the background music. Here is the 45 of I Am a Rock.
A winter's day in a deep and dark December. My window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock. I am an island. I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty. Friendship, friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. Of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. Within my room, I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island.
And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries.
The original 45 of I Am a Rock. Amazing, huh? That has a great sound. And it sounds like Dylan a little bit. And that background music with those weird chimes and things. Oh. But for me, Simon and Garfunkel are best represented by their two main albums. I think Bookends is probably one of the great achievements in some ways of the 60s. It has so many different sides to it. But listen very carefully, because you will even hear echoes of other songs in this mono mix. Remember, I first listened to this album in mono, and this is from the mono bookends. Listen close.
Sat on the ledge, an old man who had fainted was revived.
He's alright.
And everyone agreed 'twould be a miracle indeed if the boy had survived.
Save the life of my child, cried the desperate mother.
Supermarket ran to call the cops. He must be high on something, someone said. Though it never made the New York Times, in the Daily News, the caption read,
"Save the life of my child, cried the desperate mother."
Said Officer McDougal in dismay,
"The force can't do a decent job. The kids got no respect for the law today."
And blah blah blah.
Save the life of my child, cried the desperate mother. Oh, what's become of the children? People asking each other.
Felt excitement, kissed the crowd, and it made him wild. In the atmosphere, a freaky holiday. When the spotlight hit the boy, and the crowd began to cheer,
he flew away.
Now, did you notice the echo of Sound of Silence inside that? Here's another one of my favorites.
Why don't we stop fooling ourselves? The game is over, over, over. No good times. No. No times at all, just the New York Times. Sitting on the windowsill near the flowers. We might as well be apart. It hardly matters, we sleep separately. Drop a smile passing in the hall, but there's no laughs left, 'cause we laughed them all. And we laughed them all in a very short time.
He's tapping on my forehead,
delay. We're just a habit like saccharin, and I'm a bit
habitually feeling kind of blue. But each time I try on the thought of leaving you, I stop. Stop and think it over.
Overs. The second side of Bookends is primarily made up of singles. There's only one song that wasn't released as a single, but it's such a kick. So here is the single mix of Faking It, which was a minor hit single. I think it made the top 20.
She's gone. If she stays, she stays here. The girl does what she wants to do. She knows what she wants to do, and I know I'm faking it. Soul and a walk in the garden wears me down. Tangled in the fallen vines, picking up punchlines. I've just been faking it.
Love that song too. Faking It. You know, it tells the truth, basically. That's why it's so interesting. But another interesting thing about the single of Faking It is that the B-side is the only true rarity in the Simon and Garfunkel collection. Plus, it's a damn good song. It's a song called You Don't Know Where Your Interest Lies, and it was never collected for an album until 1997, when they released the Old Friends box set. Otherwise, it was lost in the lands of B-sides. But good Lord, this is a great song. From the original 45, You Don't Know Where Your Interest Lies.
You don't know that you love me. You don't know, but I know that you do. They think you're above me, yeah. What you think isn't always true. Don't try to debate me.
where your interest lies. No, you don't know where your interest lies.
You don't begin to comprehend.
You're just a game that I like to play. You may think that my friend's alright, but I won't let friendship get in my way. No, I won't let friendship get in my way.
Indications indicate running the same riff will turn you around. Obviously, you're going to blow it, but you don't know.
That song is such a gas. The section in the center where it turns into a jazz, like you're in a jazz bar or something, just kills me. And the round at the end. Oh. Yes, this reflects much of the production ethic of the 60s. And their producer at this time was Roy Haley, and Paul and Artie were co-producers for the album and the singles. You can hear echoes of George Martin's work, Brian Wilson's work, Phil Spector's work. You can hear the voices of the Everly Brothers. You can hear so much of the culture around them, but they made their own out of it, you know? So the one song on side two of Bookends that is not a single is a song about a place that many of us, many of my listeners and myself, we hold quite dear. Ah, South California. This one's called Punky's Dilemma.
Wish I was a Kellogg's cornflake, floating in my boat, taking movies, relaxed in a while, living in style, talking to a raisin occasion that plays L.A. Casually glancing at his toupee. Wish I was an English muffin, got to make the most out of a toaster. I'd ease myself down, coming up brown. I prefer poison very more than any ordinary jam. I'm a citizens for boys and very jam fan. If I become a first lieutenant, would you put my photo on your piano? To Mary Jane, best wishes, Martin. Old Roger Draft Dodger, leaving by the basement door. Everybody knows what he's tippy-toeing down there for.
I find that to be a very fun song. From the very beginning, where he's sitting in a bowl making movies, he's dealing with South California. He's dealing with the surface level of the culture. And it's very funny. It's Punky's dilemma. You know, he's got a dilemma and he doesn't know what to do about it. All right. So I'm going now to we're going to go to late 1966. I'm going to play, instead of the album version, I'm going to play the single of Hazy Shade of Winter, which comes from a pretty beat up record. So you get to, you get the grit of it.
Around. These are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hear the Salvation Army band. Down by the riverside, it's bound to be a better ride than what you got planned. Carry your cup in your hand and look around. These are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe, it's the springtime of my life. The scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me? At any convenient time, but how my memory skips while looking over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme. Drinking my vodka and lime, I look around, leaves are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground.
Yeah. Now, Louise has just been writing that she finds that song creepy. Come to think of it, all the Simon and Garfunkels are creepy in that they're cheery but dark, she says. And, you know, I get that. I especially get it listening to these punchy singles. They have this great feel to them. I've never really cared for the song Hazy Shade of Winter, but the sound of it is just so together, this production. And from early 67, their next hit single, which is funny and in a very twisted, Swiftian way, it's political.
Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. Journey from the east side to the park, just a fine and fancy ramble to the zoo. But you can take the cross town bus if it's raining or it's cold, and the animals will love it if you do. It's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. But they're dumb. A
orangutan costs yet. Full of changes in their cages. And the zookeeper is very fond of rum. Zebras are reactionaries. Antelopes are missionaries. Pigeons flock to secrecy. And hamsters turn on frequently. What the gas you got to come and see at the zoo?
Oh yeah, sarcasm, but I really love that part. What a gas! Oh, that's so cool. The biggest hit they had in 1967 is one of the strange mysteries to me of all pop music, because this is truly pop music. Ultimately, it's meaningless. It's completely meaningless. Paul Simon was hired to write songs for a new film, The Graduate, directed by Mike Nichols and written by Buck Henry. And they must have told him that there was a character named Mrs. Robinson, but they didn't tell him much else. Because it's obvious, if you know the film and you listen to this song, that the two really don't go together very well. I mean, what is this stuff about hide it in the pantry with your cupcakes or going to the candidate's debate or where are you now, Jolton Joe DiMaggio? I mean, what has that got to do with Anne Bancroft and Dustin Hoffman and Catherine Ross and, you know, or whoever it was in The Graduate? Yet, Mrs. Robinson is like this perfect piece of pop confection. It's like cotton candy or something. You can look into it like you look down into a well. There's meaning there, but it's always out of reach, and it's deep. It's deep down there, and you know. And I don't know. I'm crazy about this song. Here, from an original 1967 45, is Mrs. Robinson.
Place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Every way you look at it, you lose.
Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe to Joe has left and gone away. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
I consider this to be a perfect pop song. I love that little unresolved chord there, right close before the end. Bookends was a gigantic hit album, sold multiple million copies. I think it went sextuple platinum or something like that. And it took them a long time to put together the next album, which turned out to be their final album, because these guys, who had known each other since they were kids, basically got sick of each other, you know? Their egos were huge. Ultimately, for Bridge Over Troubled Water, I think they were supposed to do 12 songs, but they could not decide on the 12th song. Paul had a song called Cuba See Nixon No, which Artie thought was not good enough. And Artie wanted to sing a Bach chorale, and basically Paul didn't want to participate in that. As it is, there's one song, Baby Rider. Maybe Artie is on it. There's a section of vocals that go ba-ba-ba-ba that might be Artie, but otherwise I think that's a solo Paul Simon track. But it's a great song. And that's the thing about Bridge Over Troubled Water. The songs are just fantastic. Now, in 1969, this song was the preview of Coming Attractions, of an album that came out in 1970. And I suspect, ultimately, that this is my favorite Paul Simon song. There's something deep about this. Now, of course, again, it's partially affected by the culture around them. The length and the extension of the song has a lot to do with the Beatles. It has a lot to do with the hit song Hey Jude from the year before. But nonetheless, The Boxer really is cool. Here from a mono 45 is the original version of The Boxer that we heard on the radio a million times back in 1969.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. My home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, when scared. Laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la. Thank you.
eyes are bleeding me. And a fighter by his trail, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
The original 45 of The Boxer. And let me flip it over. This is the B-side. This is Baby Driver.
My mom was in the neighborhood. hands up here in the road in the bar. What's my number? I wonder how your engines scoot down the road. What's my number? I wonder how your engines feel.
Love how it speeds up at the end. Yes, yes, yes. And here's another one of the hit songs that came out of Bridge Over Troubled Water. I think this is a slightly different take than the one that's on the album. Jubilation, she loves me again. I fall on the floor and I'm laughing. Wow. Cecilia, which was another big hit for the duo. The final single from the Bridge Over Troubled Water is the first song in Paul Simon's deep devotion into world music. And this is a 45 as well. But this was the first 45 that was actually released in stereo. El Condor Pasa.
Somewhere
Condor Pasa, the first stereo 45 from Simon and Garfunkel. But the biggest one, the biggest single from the album I'm now going to play, this is the B-side, and it's called Keep the Customer Satisfied.
Gee, but it's great to be back home. Home is where I want to be. Come here for, boy, you better get your bags and flee. You're in trouble, boy, and now you're heading into war. It's the same old story. Everywhere I go, I get slandered.
Yeah. The next song is Bridge Over Troubled Water. Now, the reason I am doing this program tonight is because I've heard for the first time in probably 40 years the original 7-inch 45 mix of Bridge Over Troubled Water. And I could not believe my ears. I love pop music. I love great pop music. And this is as good as it gets. Larry Knechtel's piano is wonderful. Art Garfunkel's voice is just breathtaking. And the song is brilliant.
I'm
Wow. You know, I even have a book which calls this an evil song, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and says that it's about the taking of heroin, and the entire buildup in the production is the drug coming on. Now, of course, we don't believe that, right? But that's the kind of thing that pop music can do to you, because it can always, you can always take your mind and go to other places with it. We're at the end of The Boxer and the Punch, and I'm going to end with the one song I left out of the early days of Simon and Garfunkel. This is a song that's always been mysterious to me. I don't know why it affects me so deeply. The structure of the song has been used in folk music forever. Dylan has songs based on the same idea. But this is the 45 of Scarborough Fair.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and strands and polishes of them, she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle that was blazing in scarlet battalion. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and
so the entire Simon and Garfunkel period was from 1964 to 1970. They recorded five albums in that time period, and then they broke up. They've, of course, had many reunions and have done solo work. Simon has been successful all along. He's married to Edie Brickell right now, has been for 15 years or something. Art Garfunkel in the 70s, well, starting in Catch 22, where he played Nately, he had a bit of a film career. He worked for Mike Nichols in Catch 22, and then Nichols hired him to play Sandy in the Jules Feiffer script Carnal Knowledge in 71, which is a film that has had a lot of role over the times. You know, I think it was even prosecuted for obscenity in Tennessee at one point. And Art went on and he did Nicholas Roeg's Bad Timing much later in the 70s. And that's been about it. He's done two or three other films, but it's not like he's had this big, long film career. And he's a mathematics teacher in the 70s. And I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I thought he was teaching mathematics at Columbia University. I know in 2004 and 2006, he was busted for drugs. In 2004, he was busted with possession of marijuana and LSD, though the charge ultimately was just for the marijuana. You know, it's strange. Their music is sad. There's a sad quality to it. And it's the exact opposite of everything you think it is. If you think it's sickeningly sweet, the song's probably about war. If you think that it's being silly, it's probably doing something serious. It doesn't do what you expect it to do. There's always a twist in the music. Anyway, we've been going through The Boxer and The Punch here on The Chill Room on killradio.org. Stay tuned.